Welcome to Follow the Sound. I'm your host, Brian Kroc. Every week we explore different avenues of sound, whether they be concerts, albums, or just the artists themselves. On this week's episode, we'll be exploring Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. Far above the rock and roll of the 60s, one album stands as one of the greatest albums of all time. Paul McCartney said it was directly responsible for the creation of Sgt. Pepper. One of its singles is constantly lauded as one of the most perfect songs ever written. And the album is largely the work of one man who is in the midst of spiraling downward into an undiagnosed mental disorder. And that man was Brian Wilson, who is the head architect of the Beach Boys. He wrote songs and produced songs and was generally the driving force behind the band for a very long time until he decided to leave. But while Brian Wilson was on tour in Britain, he ended up smoking a joint one night and listening to Rubber Soul by the Beatles for the first time, an experience which really was a game changer for him. From that moment on, he decided to make an album that would rival anything the Beatles had done. And in my opinion, he succeeded. When they were flying back to, Texas, he ended up having a panic attack on the flight and was shaking and crying. And as Brian Wilson described himself, he was a pansy. But the rest of the guys in the band were, you know, tough guys. But he always considered himself to be the weaker link of the band, especially when it came to touring, because he couldn't stand it. But after that panic attack, it really shook him to his core, and he decided that he wanted to just focus on writing music. He didn't want to tour around with the band, and so he stopped being a part of the touring group of the Beach Boys and was replaced by another singer and bass player. So Brian Wilson decided to put all of his effort into one album, and he wanted to prove that he could make good music, but he also wanted to prove that he could write really honest songs and put his real emotion into it. He tapped into a little bit of it with songs like In My Room, but he had never gotten to fully embrace this. He felt that the Beach Boys' music was severely lacking in honesty. They'd sung about cars, they'd sung about women, they'd sung about California. They were tired of surfing, and Brian Wilson wanted to find a new direction for the band to go in. So after his inspiration of Rubber Soul and further inspiration from people like Phil Spector, he utilized some of those sounds, and he utilized some of the aspects that other albums had used, such as instrument doubling and vocal doubling. He ended up hiring out the Wrecking Crew, which was one of the most well-known session musician groups in California, and if you haven't checked out their body of work, you should. It is far-reaching and impressive, and pretty much every major song that came out of the 60s in the West Coast basically came from the Wrecking Crew. And pretty much all of the Wrecking Crew said that their work with Brian Wilson was some of the happiest and most creative times of their lives. But it was utilizing these tools and utilizing these sounds that Brian Wilson came to create something that was truly amazing. So Brian Wilson set out to create the album Pet Sounds. He obviously didn't know it was going to be called Pet Sounds at the beginning, but he ended up working from 1965 into 1966 when the album was finally released on May 16th, and his record company, Capitol Records, fully embraced his ideas for the most part. They trusted him as a musician to make hits, as he had done in the past, but they really had no clue what Brian Wilson was actually about to do. So without further ado, let's get into Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. The first song on the album is Wouldn't It Be Nice, which actually has one of the most recognizable guitar parts in a song, with that really high-pitched guitar leading into this loud sound with the drums coming in very quickly and creating that wall of sound.
Happy times together we've been spending.
Most people don't know that it's actually a blues shuffle. Not the chord progression, but the beat, that swing feel that's upbeat and happy. The song Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac has a similar beat, a similar swing feel, which they use to create a happy, uplifting song in the midst of several major breakups in the band. The second song on the album is called You Still Believe in Me. Despite this song being extremely sweet and sentimental, it has a lot of layers underneath it. And if you listen closely, you can hear little bells in the background and other instruments. But the percussion utilizing timpani in the background, which is a loud drum, and yet it fits so perfectly with such a low-key song that doesn't actually have a lot of percussion in it. Next song on the list is That's Not Me, which is another song sung by Mike Love. But compared to everything else that Mike Love had sang before that, you can really tell that this is a song written by Brian Wilson. The song is fairly upbeat, except for the concept behind it, the lyrics behind it, are actually rather sad and convey a sense of longing and loneliness and wanting to belong. But that's not me. Cause I haven't been home in a long time. You needed my love, and I know that I left at the wrong time. Next song on the list is Don't Talk, or subtitled Put Your Head on My Shoulder. Brian Wilson has said that this is the sweetest song he has ever sung, and I am inclined to agree. It's got this melancholy behind it, but this sense of joy and peace that comes from loving someone, of which Brian Wilson truly at that time did love his wife Marilyn, even though they were going through several issues dealing with his undiagnosed mental disorder. Next up is I'm Waiting for the Day, and quite honestly, this is one of my favorite songs, especially on this album. It's usually not the one that's played on the radio. You know, the other singles are usually played a lot more. But for me, the first time I heard this song and I heard that drum banging in the very beginning and heard the layers of harmony, it really drew me in. And made me appreciate even more what Brian Wilson and what the Beach Boys were capable of doing. But listen, as the verses are very low and subdued and sweet and gentle, and then the chorus is just this loud, bombastic sound and is quite amazing.
I'm waiting for the day when you can love again. I kissed your lips when your face looked sad. It made me think about him and that you still loved him so.
Now comes the first instrumental track of the album, which is called Let's Go Away for a While. All in all, this song actually reminds me of a Burt Bacharach song. I can't tell you which one, but it sounds like something Burt Bacharach would write, with the strings in the background and bouncing around from major to minor. It's got jazz chords. That's all I'm trying to say. This was the original end of side A, if you actually had the vinyl. I know on CDs they don't have a side A or side B, but I always liked it as sort of like the middle part of a book. And Sloop John B is, I actually didn't know this until a little bit ago, that it was actually a folk song that was written back in 1927, or at least that's when it was included in a collection of folk songs called the American Song Bag. This song was actually released 2 months before the release of the album Pet Sounds, and turned out to be a fairly good success for them, just not as big as some of their other songs and not as big as some of their latter songs. But all in all, it's also one of my favorites. And now for the most played song on the album, or at least it would be the most played song that I heard on the radio from the Beach Boys. This song is listed, and I agree that it is perfect. It combines so many different elements of just a great song, a nice, sweet sound, a good chorus. The lyrics are great. And it was the first time that really in a pop song or a rock song that they had used the word God, not only in the title, but in the song itself. And in a couple of places, they actually banned it because of the use of the word God in it. Although Brian Wilson says that it's not actually to a particular God, but a higher power that anybody might pray to.
The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me?
I'd be without you.
Carl Wilson actually is the one singing this, which is the only song that he really leads on the entire album, and it's really held together by him. His voice is so honest that you really believe that he's saying that, you know, God only knows.
God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me.
One of the best things about this song, too, is the fact that it had a lot of unorthodox instruments. Brian Wilson used French horns, accordions, and sleigh bells, and harpsichord, and a quartet of violas and cellos, and it really stands as just a brilliant song. And actually, Rolling Stone voted it as number 25 of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Next up is I Know There's an Answer. Originally, the song was released under the title Hang On to Your Ego, and it had different lyrics. But the song was written as a reaction to Brian's experiences with LSD. Because of that, though, Mike Love refused to sing some of the lyrics, claiming that it was too much of a doper song for me. But actually, I quite like this one. It uses a lot of weird instruments, including a bass harmonica and a banjo. And frankly, I think Mike Love's vocals on it are really good. Next song on the list is Here Today. The vocal doubling is very easy to spot because Mike Love can sing this song the same way twice, but he has little inflection differences each time. The reason why a lot of people will use vocal doubling is that it makes the song sound a lot richer and the vocals sound a lot more powerful. But the chorus is actually the real star of this song, in my opinion, because it's that real wall of sound that Phil Spector pioneered. But there's a lot of cleverness put into this song, too, that really stands out if you're paying attention. Like the fact that during the bridge, the guitar starts hitting a dissonant note, which goes against the natural chord progression. And the fact that they switch in the bridge to a 1-2 beat, which is just a bass snare combination. And it somehow just clicks together and sounds really great. And then it goes right back into this really strong chorus with this driving beat behind it. And the harmonic complexities of the Beach Boys thrown in there. Song up is I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. And personally, I connect with this song on a personal level because of this line.
They say I got brains, but they ain't doing me no good. I wish they
That's how I feel sometimes.
Start to happen again. I think I got something good going for myself, but what goes?
The prevalent sound of this song is a near atonal harpsichord underneath everything. It almost clashes in the background. But once again, Brian Wilson somehow figured out how to make these things all fit together in a wonderful song.
I guess I just wasn't made for these times. Every time I get the...
And now for the title track of the album, Pet Sounds. This is the second instrumental song on the album, and it was originally called Run, James, Run, and Brian Wilson had intended it to be a James Bond theme, which is why you hear some of those James Bondy elements and the type of guitar with the tremolo on it, like really high tremolo. I got to admit, several great albums that I've heard have instrumental tracks on them. You don't see that a lot these days. A lot of artists won't always have their voice on something, but Brian Wilson made songs for a Beach Boys album that had none of the Beach Boys on it except him just organizing everything. That being said, I honestly believe he should have only had one instrumental track on here. And now for the final song on the album, Caroline No.
Where did your long hair go? Where is the girl I used to know? How could...
For the longest time, I actually thought this song was called O Carolina. It wasn't until I actually looked at the lyrics that I realized they were saying Caroline No. This song was heavily influenced by Brian and Marilyn's relationship as it was slowly spiraling downward into oblivion, really. But you can honestly hear that Brian Wilson loves her. He just understands that things are changing. And it makes this song really sad and heartbreaking. And you can actually hear that. You can hear it in the lyrics and in the music that Brian Wilson's heart is broken because of this. I'm actually kind of surprised that they ended the album on this song. It seems like such a down note, and the rest of the album is this great journey through the battle between a person's mind and their heart. And I guess he was trying to say that not all things end up well. Some things end up bad. But to me, this is an absolutely brilliant album. The complexity of the music and the honesty of the lyrics and the harmonics and the vocals, everything just fits together extremely well. My only real critique of this entire album is the fact that Brian Wilson overutilized the fade out of a song. I wish he'd written actual ends. I know they do that a lot on radio, and it makes sense to do it that way, but I don't know. I've always been a fan of something that actually comes to a true conclusion, and he fades out on pretty much every song, including the last one. But just as he might have been saying that all things don't always end well, this album actually didn't do that great for the band. Financially speaking, it didn't earn as much as other albums. Critics liked it, and it did okay. But the true praise came from other musicians like Paul McCartney and John Lennon, who, like I said in the very beginning, it directly was responsible for their creation of Sgt. Pepper. They had to compete with the Beach Boys to make a superior album. I mean, Paul McCartney still listed as one of his top 10 favorite albums. But at the same time, it was the Beatles that caused this album to be made in the first place with their release of Rubber Soul. And it influenced 1,000 other musicians as well, including myself. So it didn't really matter in the end that he didn't get all of the accolades from the public. He got respect from the rest of the music community, but it wasn't enough for him. It caused him to spiral downward even more into depression and caused him to actually leave the Beach Boys. However, I gotta say, I mean, this entire album really blew my mind. And I suggest that you listen to it the way that Brian Wilson intended you to listen to it, which is in the dark with headphones. He said, light can distract you and you see things. He said, but when you're listening to it, you can see things in your mind. And that's what he wants you to see. But if you do want to actually see something, I suggest you go watch Love and Mercy. It's a biopic about Brian Wilson starring John Cusack as an older Brian Wilson and Paul Dano as a young Brian Wilson. And it goes through this entire time with the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson struggling through this mental disorder that he had developed and his striving to create something amazing and something beautiful. Because fact of the matter is that although this album came out and everyone said it was amazing and it is constantly listed as one of the greatest albums of all time, and every musician that was out at that time who heard this album said that it was amazing and blew their mind, it left Brian Wilson still longing for more, still wanting more of whatever it is that he was looking for. So, yes, if you get a chance, check out Love and Mercy. It is an absolutely wonderful film, and it shows you the inner workings of how the album was created, as well as the impact of it later on. After Brian Wilson had he had been diagnosed and he was getting treatment, and he remarried a wonderful woman. And after Carl died, he decided that somebody needed to be out there actually doing the music. And so he went out and he started performing again. Well, that's it for this episode. I truly hope that you have enjoyed listening to Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys with me. And I hope that you listen in again as we go through more and more music. There's so much music out there in the world that I don't have enough time to listen to it all, but I'm certainly going to try. This is Follow the Sound. You can find out more at followthesoundpodcast.com. I am your host, Brian Kroc. And remember, if you hear it, follow the sound.